But God said to him, "Thou fool, this night do they require thy soul of thee? In whose things shall those things be which thou hast provided?" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Among the four gospel books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we divide them into two categories. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are in the first category, and John is in the second. John stands alone. John's gospel stands alone for many reasons, but one important reason is that it is John who gives us to understand that Jesus' public ministry lasted over a period of several years, between 2.5 and 3.5 years, to be more precise. And that calculation depends upon the reading of how many distinct Passover celebrations there were during the course of Jesus' public life, according to the way John is laying it out. So it could have been 3, or it could have been 4. John shows us several years and a longer public life. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, however, they make it seem, where they're telling the story, as if all the events of Jesus' public life, that they took place over the course of 1 year. And it is the fatal Passover that is the climactic event to which everything is leading. These three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called the Synoptic Gospels, which means a general view. Matthew, Mark, and Luke give a general view of the life of Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ. And they do so in a similar way, although they have many, many distinct things about each of their Gospel books. In all of the Synoptics, you know, the life of Jesus is presented in a basic outline. There's a ministry that begins with a baptism in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. And then there is a mission in Galilee. And Jesus of Nazareth, he performs many miracles, many signs. He gives powerful teaching and preaching. And great crowds of people go after him. But the mission does not stay in Galilee. Jesus takes it to Jerusalem, and he does so at the time of Passover. And there at that Passover, he allows himself to be captured by evil men and put to death by means of Roman crucifixion. Then, on the third day, Jesus comes back from the dead, as he foretold that he would. And when he comes back from the dead, everything is changed. Now he has proved himself to be indeed both Christ and God. So the age of the gospel begins. This is what we get from the synoptic gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. St. Luke, however, he has a very distinct way of organizing this material. And that is that most of Luke's gospel is taking place along the pilgrim road to Jerusalem, as Jesus and the crowds, they are on the way together to what will be this fateful Passover feast. In the 9th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, verse 51, we read, "And it came to pass, when the days of his assumption were accomplishing, that Jesus steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." And then for the next 10 chapters of St. Luke's Gospel, till the end of chapter 19, when Jesus makes his royal messianic entrance into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, Jesus is on this pilgrim road. This is the action. Events are relentlessly moving forward. Jesus continues to teach, instructing by means of strikingly memorable parables. Here on the pilgrim road to Jerusalem, we find, for example, the parable of the Good Samaritan, parable of the rich fool of today's gospel lesson, the prodigal son, the dishonest steward, that's the gospel lesson in today's Latin Mass reading. And these parables are very particular to St. Luke's evangelist. The others do not have them. And how deeply these parables on St. Luke's pilgrim road, how deeply they have shaped our whole idea of what Christianity is all about. So when we are reading St. Luke, when we're hearing sections of his gospel book proclaimed at Mass, it's very useful for our understanding if we can place it, whether it's on the pilgrim road section or not. Be alert to that. Whole section from St. Luke 9:51 to the end of Luke 19. And when Jesus is on the pilgrim road, let us imagine ourselves as a part of that throng of pilgrims. The throng is increasing. It's swelling because more and more people are gathered around Jesus at this time. And more as the procession nears the holy city of Jerusalem. Remember, it was these jubilant pilgrims, this immense multitude of people. They were the ones who created the rapturous reception into Jerusalem, which Jesus was to receive on Palm Sunday. This was the only time that the Lord Jesus allowed himself to be treated as a king. I want to suggest to you that this long pilgrim road to Jerusalem we find in St. Luke's Gospel, that this pilgrim road is an image to us of the journey of life itself as a Christian. We are the disciples. The Lord is in our midst. He's at our head. We're following him with confidence and joyful surrender. Only we have to realize that when we're with Jesus on the pilgrim road of life, we have to remember, we have to understand that the pilgrim road is really the royal road of the cross. The royal road of the cross. Now, the pilgrims with Jesus in the gospel scenes, they don't realize this as it's happening. Even the apostles, they don't get it. They don't realize the significance. Afterwards, they do. And we realize it, even if only vaguely, according to our own growth as Christians. But the seasoning of life, it's giving us that wisdom of the cross, whether we're fully aware of it or not. But we do want to lean into it. We want to deepen our understanding of the doctrines of the gospel, placing ourselves over and over again on the pilgrim road of St. Luke's Gospel with Jesus our Lord. And that pilgrim road to Jerusalem is indeed the royal road of the cross, which we must share in. And that royal road of the cross, that royal road of the cross, is the way to eternal glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.